In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 1932. My daughter, you know that my divine will is the greatest thing that I can give and that the creature can receive. So here, as we continue to read, Jesus continues to teach us that the greatest gift that he can give to humanity at this point is sanctification. And this is what he's calling us to. This is what he's leading us to. And he says, you have to know that my divine will is the greatest thing that I can give to humanity, that humanity can receive, and that its reigning is the confirmation of its great gift and the carrying out of its will that was known. So the more that we learn this, Jesus teaches us every day. The more that we learn this, the more we are confirmed in this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. And that's what our Lord is showing us. He's showing us that he saved the best for last, and he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says the confirmation of the great gift and carrying out its will that was ever known is right now. See, God is now preparing the world for perfection. Okay. And that doesn't mean we're perfect yet. But that's what he's planned. He says, therefore, it is necessary to ask for this gift. So the thing that he says is, if you want the divine will, you've got to pray for it. You've got to ask for it continuously. It's a continuous praying, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. When you answer the phone by saying, Jesus, speak in my speaking. Let them know, who's ever calling, that Jesus is going to be with this. It's not going to be you and me speaking, but it's Jesus going to be here. And what happens at that point is your whole life is put to the side so that you're letting Jesus speak. Therefore, it is necessary to ask for it. By asking for it, the soul disposes herself. The soul forms within herself the royal palace. That's where Jesus is reigning, your heart. In order to receive this gift and asking for it, the soul acquires the love in order to love it. Now, this isn't human love. It's divine love. And as the soul acquires these divine qualities of sacrifice of Jesus and Mary that are needed in order to possess it. So this life of Jesus, this life of Mary is necessary. That's why our memory has to be of Jesus and Mary. It's not just, I think Jesus would do this, or I think Jesus would say this, or I think Mary would do this. Their life has to reign in us. We have to begin to understand that God is looking for the DNA of Jesus, DNA of Mary in each and every one of us. So he says very clearly, the soul acquires the divine qualities of sacrifices that are needed to possess this great gift, as Jesus did, as Mary lived this life. And as one asks for it, the human will loses its ground. The human will is debilitated. The human will loses its strength and disposes itself to receive the dominion of the supreme volition. Now, we know the dominion machines, we weren't in charge. The machines were in charge. It doesn't matter what you voted for. The machines were in charge. Jesus says, I want you to dispose yourself for the dominion of the supreme volition. Why do you think God allowed these words to be used at this time? To tell us, you know, you're not going to be cheated this time. It's going to be a dominion to receive the supreme will of God. And God, seeing himself prayed for, disposes himself to give this gift of gifts to humanity. It takes the disposition of both sides in order for us, triune God, to give our celestial gifts. God has already said yes but he's waiting for us to say yes. How many gifts do we want to give? Jesus says, but because souls are not, because the gifts are not asked for, Jesus says, we try and God retain them within ourselves, waiting to give them when they are asked for. See, prayer, see, the prayer that we pray isn't please, 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 please. That's the human way of understanding. The prayer that we pray, Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. So I know that this is what God is asking. The Our Father, may your kingdom come and reign in me, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. Breathe in me that rule of God, that God wants this. And when we pray the Our Father, we're asking for it. So he says, but because they are not asked for, we retain them within ourselves, waiting to give them when they are asked for. By asking, Jesus says, it is as if commerce were open between the creator and the creature. If one does not ask, the commerce is closed, and our celestial gifts do not descend in order to put them in circulation on the face of the earth. Therefore, the first indispensable necessity in order to obtain the kingdom of our divine will is to ask for it. With incessant prayers, come divine will, breathe in my breathing. Answer the phone. Jesus, speak in my speaking. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. The prevenient act is essential in the morning, and then your actual acts throughout the day. The first indispensable necessity in order to obtain the kingdom of the divine will is to ask for it with incessant prayers, not just one. Somebody said that to me. How many times do I have to say the Our Father? Until it clicks, until it happens, you know. So we are reached by these little letters, now of solicitation, now of supplication, now of agreement that they want to make with our most holy divine will. And then he says, until the last letter comes of the final accord, it's going to happen. Our job is to be persistent. Volume 30, 4-2, 1932. Wasn't redemption wanted by our divine will, a prodigy of our power, of our love, and knows how to conquer everything? This redemption, even the most awful ingratitudes, the gravest sins, and requite in love, where there were ungrateful men who offended it the most. And he says, if it is about man, of course, he shall not be able to stand up again, in spite of all the helps of my redemption. Now, think about that. We still go to confession each week. If it was up to man, about man, he would not be able to stand up, even though I have redeemed humanity, Jesus says. Our human inadequacies are going to be perfected. We're going to be perfect. Jesus says this to Louisa. I'm going to make my children my divine masterpieces for God. He says, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to breathe on humanity in a powerful way to bring about this living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. They'll be able to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. You want to know what the illumination of conscience is? Read the 36 volumes of Louisa and you'll begin to understand what God is going to do. The 36 volumes of Louisa, it's what's going to come. It's how and why this is going to happen. So Jesus says, because the soul is not disposed to taking them, many do not cease to be sinners. Many do not cease to be weak. Many do not cease to be smeared with the gravest sins. So this disposition is necessary. I want this more than anything. I want heaven. I don't want anything of earth. I mean, that should be our last prayer in the prevenient act. Lord, today, let me begin to live heaven. Lord, let me on earth as it is in heaven. I want nothing of earth. And once we get to that point, God goes, good. He says, now you can begin, this is what he tells Luisa, to live the resurrected life. Volume 30, 425, 1932. Now, those who dispose themselves to do our divine will prepare the place, prepare the decency, prepare the nobility in which to be able to put this gift that is so great and infinite. Those that dispose themselves to do, that's volume 1 through volume 10, prepare the place and the decency and the nobility to be able to put these gifts in their proper order, this gift that is so great, that is so infinite. So he says, our knowledges on the fiat shall help and prepare them. So these lessons that Jesus are giving to us each day, if we're reading the Book of Heaven, each day if we're reading the calendar, he says, our knowledges, these knowledges will help, will bring the fiat to help and prepare the souls who are reading them in a surprising way to receive this gift that they have not obtained up to this day, and they shall be able to obtain tomorrow. So here, God has given us hope, even though it seems far from our fallen human nature. Jesus says, you're going to obtain them. Just keep on being faithful. Keep on climbing. It's gonna happen. And then he says, and after we, triune God, have given the gift of our fiat to one member of the human family, this of original sin, that's Louisa. Our Lady lived it. Jesus lived it. The new Adam and the new Eve. But we have given this gift to one member, that's Louisa, of this human family. Then the family acquires the bond. The family acquires the right to this gift. That's what Jesus has done for us. It's our right. In fact, Jesus says, we, triune God, never do works and gifts, give gifts for one alone. But when we do works and gifts, we do them always in a universal way, a Catholic way, so that this gift may be ready for everyone as long as they want it and as long as they dispose themselves. So God's saying it's coming for those who want it. Therefore, the living in my divine will is not a property of the creature, nor is it in her power, but it is a gift that I, God, give it whenever I want and whomever I want and in the times I want. So God says, get ready. It's coming. It's going to happen. It is a gift of heaven, Jesus says, given from our great magnanimity, from our inextinguishable love. This burning love of God is, he wants humanity to possess this. Volume 30, 515, 1932. My daughter, you must know that even though I burn with the desire to see my divine will reign, yet I cannot give this gift, not before the creatures, with the truths that I manifested as they come to know them and have the great good of forming the sight in order to be able to comprehend them and therefore dispose them to receive a gift so great. So here Jesus is saying very powerfully, you must know that even though I burn with desire, I cannot give this gift. Why? Because the creatures have to have the truths that I've manifested. And as they study the truths, they come to know of the great good of forming sight, this understanding, in order to be able to comprehend. And then once we comprehend, to dispose them to receive a gift so great. I mean, how many times have we said to our friends and our neighbors, hey, you got to read the Louisa. And they go, thank you, but no, thank you. Okay. They cannot have this gift. Why? Because they have to understand the truth that Jesus is speaking. Now, some people say to me, well, so-and-so lived in the divine will. Maximilian Cold lived in the divine will. Dina Bellinger lived in the divine will. No. You cannot receive this gift. Listen to what Jesus says. If you haven't read the truths, if you haven't studied the truths, if you haven't come to know the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa, the great good that it forms, you begin to see what Jesus is showing us, to comprehend what Jesus is showing us, then you are disposed to receive the gift that is so great. It doesn't matter how great a saint was, if they're not reading the Book of Heaven, they can't receive the gift of gifts. Listen to what Jesus says. You must know this. Even though I burn with desire, many cannot get this gift because they can't see it. Why can't they see it? Because they haven't read the truths. They haven't read what I have manifested to you, Louisa. They haven't come to understand this new and divine way of holiness. The great good of beginning to see clearly and comprehend clearly this gift of gifts. They're not disposed yet. So how many times have I said to great people, beautiful souls, would you read this? And they go, no, I haven't got time for it. I've got to get my thing done first. Everybody has a free will. They're good souls. But if they haven't read it, it's not going to click. That's why when you read every day, when you read, Jesus is saying, do you understand a little bit more? And you go, yes. Then you go, come on, read a little more. Do you understand a little bit more? You go, yes. Keep on reading. It's not that you race through the book and say, I'm done. I know it. No, it's you've just begun the first mile. You read it again and you're going to go a little faster. You read it again and you're going to go a little. It's like driving in a car. You know, the more that you just step on the gas, you're going farther and farther and farther, faster and faster. You're comprehending it. You're disposing yourself to receive this gift. It's magnificent. And Jesus says the majority won't read this. Your family won't, your neighbors won't, your coworkers won't, your parishioners won't read this. He says, would you do this for them? That's what he said to Louisa. As Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, will you stand in the breach for all my children, Jesus says, to get them ready for what's coming? That's why I said, this is like April 1st. It's crossing the Red Sea. It's, you know, for some, they think they're going to win. For others, they're not going to even get close. It's trick or treat, if you want to say. It's a treat for those who are reading. The kingdom is coming. Volume 30, 5, 10, excuse me, 530, 1932. When Adam rejected this divine will of ours, when Adam withdrew, Adam remained without divine life, without the divine nourishment, without the continuous aid of receiving new and increasing life. And if he did not die completely, it was because of the effects that, according to his dispositions and circumstances in life, my divine will gave him. This new and divine way of holiness is coming for all of us. Adam withdrew. He remained without divine life, without divine nourishment. He didn't receive the continuous act of receiving new and increasing divine light. And he says it was a miracle that he survived. He fell so far. But he lived because of the effects according to the dispositions that my divine will gave him. Now, Jesus says, as our paternal goodness saw that Adam kept falling lower and lower, in order to give him a support, a help, it gave him the law as norm for his life, the Ten Commandments. But with all the law, man did not recover. Why? He's spiraling. And since it was our ideal of creation had been Adam, not only for him, was everything made. I, Jesus, wanted to come upon earth and then into the midst of humanity in order to give Adam and his children more valid supports, more solitary medicines, surer means, more powerful helps. I instituted the holy sacraments, the sacraments and the sacramentals. These act in times of in circumstances according to the disposition of humanity, of creatures, as effects and works of my most holy divine will. So God has given us the medicines. The greatest medicine is confession. I've seen people physically change. It's a healing that takes place. Yeah, the unconfessed sins are the ones that are really not forgiven. If you go into confession and you go, I'm going to cover this up, they're not forgiven. It's not a good confession. It's to confess your sins. That's why, you know, you have the general confession where you go through your whole life. And that should be done every 10 years, basically. This is how I lived. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. This is my life. And get ready for this total forgiveness of divine mercy from Good Friday until Divine Mercy Sunday. Even the temporal punishment due to sin is gone. God knows we're living in horrible times, and he needs us to cooperate with these medicines that he's given us. Jesus says, I've got this all planned. He says, I need you just to give your fiat and watch what I'm going to do. Jesus keeps on telling Louisa, watch what I'm going to do. Volume 31, 4, 7, 24, 19, 32. Our word is a birth from our womb. Jesus is the word of God. As he speaks, we become alive. Therefore, it is Louisa, our daughter, as daughters, and as daughters, they carried out the good that they have generated in their father. So instead of oppressing yourself, think rather that your Jesus wants to give you the new surprises of his divine works so that you dispose yourself to receive such a good, such a great good. It's a new beginning for us. God is saying, watch what I'm going to do. It's not going to be the same anymore. A new and divine way of holiness is coming. Volume 31, 10, 16, 19, 32. You must know that when the soul disposes herself to do an act in my divine will arms its power, divine power, and simplifies, forms the void in us and forms the divine nature in the human will as though victorious, and it forms its path in the human will of humanity, of the soul. When my divine will is known, Jesus says, that it wants a work to be done and it wants a sacrifice. Not doing it is like wanting to contest a truth. The sun isn't shining. It doesn't shine. You know, it's that ridiculous. Knowing my divine will, when divine will is known and wants to work to be done and it wants a sacrifice, not doing it is like wanting to contest a truth. And this is a sin against the Holy Spirit. It cries out for revenge before God. To know my divine will and to not do it is to close heaven, to break the divine relations, and not to recognize the divine lordship that each creature is obliged to know and to submit what my divine will wants, should it cost her her life. Therefore, be attentive. Adore my divine will. At what I have deposited in you, Louisa, and now that's what he's saying to us. What I've deposited to Louisa, adore it. Be attentive if you want to contend your Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the world. And he's giving it to us. We're at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, we don't deserve anything. I mean, we are living in a world where most of heaven is in tears. And Jesus is saying to us, watch what I'm going to do. You want to satisfy Jesus? He says, be attentive and adore my divine will, which I deposited in Louisa. Begin to study this. Begin to read this. Begin anytime. See, where do I start? What do I do? It's up to you. Remember when we started, we had mimeograph sheets of paper. This is what Jesus said. That's all we had. Now we have, we have all 36 volumes. We have the calendar. We have the 24 hours of the Passion. We have the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. Everything that is there is ours if we wish. Ask Jesus, where do you want me to start? He might say, start with the letters of Louisa. Go through the letters of Louisa. Or he might say, you know, start with a You Must Know book. You must know this, Jesus says, in order to live in it. Or start with a Be Attentive book. Be attentive to what I'm going to tell you, Jesus keeps on saying. You know, this is like even disposition. What is the disposition that I need? Read these four. There's only four parts to this. Read the four parts, and you begin to understand. Is that what I thought? I didn't know. This is how much God wants us to possess this. Volume 31, 11:6, 1932. One fiat draws and snatches another one fiat from me, Jesus, in order to form the void in the soul and in which to place the divine order, the divine harmony of my operating fiat. Then it disposes the soul and imposes itself on me, Jesus, she says. In order to make me give more lessons as to form many acts together. This is, if you go to luisapicaretta.me, just look at what we have now compared to in the early 80s. Look what we have now. I mean, the Lord, the more that we read, the more Jesus says it disposes of the soul itself on Jesus to make me, God, give more lessons so as to form many acts together that united among themselves form the new creation, more beautiful, more artful than the machine of the universe. And it must serve for the kingdom of my own divine will, Jesus says. We haven't seen anything. What's coming is the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. It's very, very close. The void is being filled in that void that's in each and every one of us with what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus says. So one who does not live in our divine will would happen as a teacher assigned the essay to his disciples, but does not make himself the actor of the essays of the disciples. And he leaves it up to his freedom in a way that he could make some mistakes. And he does it according to his small capacity because he does not feel over within himself either the capacity or the operating act of his teacher. And the essay is nothing other than our great grace that never leaves the creature. And in the little good that the soul does, and in accordance to the disposition of the soul, it offers itself either as operating act or assisting act, because there is no good that is done that is not helped and sustained by divine grace. Divine grace is it. It's everything. There's nothing we can do without divine grace. And what Jesus is saying with this book of heaven is, watch what I'm going to do for all of humanity. As Moses stood at the breach, you know, praying for the children of the Israelites, they were brought in. 3,000 were lost, but the majority crossed the Red Sea. But what God is asking of us, they crossed the Red Sea, and then even though they crossed it, then they were, the 3,000 were gone. But God's got great plans for humanity, and there will be those who will say no. And God is saying, will you take their place and say yes for them? Because they can't at this time. And it's the same thing. Will you say your fiat for all of humanity now? Volume 31, 11, 12, 1932. Here then is the necessity of these knowledges, these truths, these lessons on the divine will, that we, triune God, will give souls bit by bit so that the creature may appreciate this gift so great that we freely want to give to the soul. Knowledge generates the appetite, the desire to know more. And the human will is disposed little by little to undergo the transformation and the unification of the divine will. And we, triune God, keep accounts of paying attention to whether the soul can pay us back or not, shall not place our image in the incalculable number of a divine value that shall be content to see our children rich and happy of our own divine happiness and wealth. Jesus says, reading, you get hungrier for this. You desire to know more of it. That's why we read every day. That's why I love the calendar. And again, the calendar sometimes is it takes a little bit of time to read. But if you can discipline yourself to read every day, little by little, to undergo this transformation, this of the unification of the divine will, where God places his image with of this coin of incalculable number they will see that this richness, this happiness is of a divine value, divine happiness, of a divine wealth. It's not human. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. It's now to begin to share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. Volume 31, 12, 16, 1932. My little daughter of my divine will, you must know this, that my yearning, my delirium for wanting to love and to be loved by humanity is so great that hiddenly, without letting myself be noticed, I put a dose of my love in the depth of their souls. Again, what does that mean? It means that when things get tough, there's no atheists in foxholes. They're all praying. There's a dose, there's a portion of God's love in each and every one of us, or we wouldn't be alive. According to the dispositions, he says, so do I add the dose in feeling my love within them? They tell me with the heart, I love you, I love you, I love you. This is how we should be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I love you, I love you, I love you. This is this new and divine way of holiness is how we have to live. I love you, I love you, I love you to Jesus, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This new and divine way of holiness is essential. Bring that little spark of life, of love, of light in our soul. Make it come alive. How? By falling in love with God. The more we fall in love with God, there's no turning back after that. It's he's leading us to the kingdom of God on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. Volume 31, 1-6-1933. My divine will, by locating and enclosed in the soul, for as much as the soul is capable of enclosing, waiting, wanting to always give, takes the soul to navigate in this immense ocean of the will of God that reigns in God himself and renders the soul more capable. It takes its form from its own ocean and expands the little sea of its volition, present in the depth of the soul. So this drop of water in us enters into this ocean of the love, the light, the life of God. It expands. That's where we belong. We God breathed into the dust his image and likeness. And because of Adam's fall, Jesus had to come to redeem us. And now after 2,000 years, now's the time for sanctification. This is what God is waiting for. It can be said that it makes of the soul its little vessel to go sailing in the immense ocean of the will of God, insofar as she disposes herself and operates, so does she enclose the new doses of the divine will, this new life of the divine will, this new light of the divine will, this new love of the divine will in the soul. God is doing it. And all we say is fiat. Let it be as you wish, as you want. That's what God is waiting for in each and every one of us, so he can make of us his own divine masterpiece. This is what God is looking for. Volume 31, 1-18-1933. In the souls who serve me as living species, we, Triune God, carry out our life together with the soul. We, Triune God, palpitate from one same heartbeat. And if I see the soul disposed, Jesus says, I communicate my divine pains to the soul, and I continue my passion in the soul. And I could say that from the sacramental species, the Holy Eucharist, I pass to the living species to continue my life on earth, not alone, but together with the soul. You see what Jesus is doing? You receive life from the Eucharist, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. As we eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus, what happens is our life changes. I could say from the sacramental species, Jesus, I pass on to the living species. He says, I am calling my children to become living hosts, to continue my life on earth, not alone, but together, one, fused with that soul. You're not alone anymore. How many people I've heard, my spouse died and I'm all alone. Your spouse is Jesus. He came to earth to find a spouse, and we have to become aware that we are one with him. We fall in love with him. You're not alone anymore. When you pray, it's Jesus gazing in my gazing, Jesus beating in my heart beating, Jesus breathing in my breathing. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master. He's my friend. He's my God. Jesus says, I want this. I want this for my children. How great is our God? It's volume 31, 129, 1933. When we put out our truths, they act powerfully over our divine being, because if they came out, they want to give the life of the good that they possess. And that's at the same time, they want to dispose humanity, those souls, to draw near to this fountain, which sprang in order to transform them into the good of the truth itself. Think about that. When we put out these truths, these lessons, they act powerfully over our divine being, Jesus says. Because if they come out, they want to give life and the good that they possess, and at the same time dispose the souls to draw near to this fount. You're in the middle of the desert from which they sprang, to transform the souls into good of the truths that are there. Everything is in whether a truth comes out of us, triune God, or not. That's why we have the Book of Heaven. It's called the Book of Heaven. You have the Book of Life in heaven, and Jesus gave the Book of Heaven on earth. It's a new beginning for everyone, anyone who wants it. This is the beauty of this gift. Volume 31, 2, 12, 1933. Our love gives itself no respite. And according to the dispositions and the cooperation of the soul, now we, triune God, unfold the creative power. Now we, triune God, the redeeming power. Now we, triune God, the sanctifying power. It's time. Creation was a divine decree. Redemption was a divine decree. And now sanctification is the divine decree. According to the soul's needs and to the correspondence that the soul offers to us. That's with creation, redemption, and now with sanctification. But all this together with the soul, never on our own. We, triune God, want to use the creative virtue, but we want triune God. We, triune God, want the soul to know it. We want the soul to receive it. We want to use the redeeming virtue if sin tyrannizes the soul, but we want her to feel the good that we want to do to the soul. That's the Book of Heaven. And receiving it with love and gratitude, we want to use the sanctifying virtue, but we, triune God, want the soul to offer herself to receive the transformation of our holy acts into her own. Breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking, the transformation of our holy acts into her own, so as to receive our sanctifying virtue. This is Jesus, breathe in my breathing. He says, I take you at your word, I will breathe in your breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. He says, I'll take you at your word. I will beat in your heart beating. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. I will take you at your word. I will gaze in your gazing. Receive our sanctifying virtue. Jesus in us is doing that. When I hear somebody saying, well, I'm doing divine acts. No, you're not. You're a human. You can't do divine acts. Jesus in you can do the divine acts. It's the misunderstanding of what Jesus teaches, Louisa. It's you receive our sanctifying virtue, Jesus says. You enter into our image and likeness. Volume 32, 4:23, 1933. Be attentive to receive the good of this divine winding. It's the clock. God is setting everything in motion. If you want to know the hours of the day of the Supreme Fiat, so there's this, what time is it right now? Receive the good of this divine winding. Have your clock set with the Supreme Fiat. More so, since when a soul disposes herself to do my will and to follow my divine will, all the things that the soul has done compete in order to enter into that act. In fact, being a single act, it does not have to detached acts. See, that's why I'm saying when you're praying your prevenient act, always say, I want to enter into the prime act of God, this single act of God. Being in a single act does not have to have detached acts, and therefore everything it did in order of creation and redemption and the angels and the saints, the divine one encloses everything in the work of the creature that operates in the divine will. Because if the divine will gives it, it does not give itself by half, but in its entirety. We enter into that prime act of God, that single act of God, that fiat lux of God, the fiat of Mary, the fiat voluntas on earth as it is in heaven. When a good is not known, one does not feel at least the dispositions for wanting to believe in it. But brings blindness of mind and hardness of heart, and one can even reach the point of despising that good. So again, this is where a lot of people are with the divine will. If the good is not known of the divine will, the soul doesn't feel the least dispositions for wanting to believe it. It brings blindness to the mind. Can't you see this? They can't see it. Hardness of heart, even to reach the point of despising the divine will. So God is saying to us, I'm giving this to you so that you'll do it for them. You know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. For the one who knows the divine will and possesses the divine will forms his fortune, forms his glory, and he would lay down his human life in order to possess the life of my fiat, Jesus says, and its goods. When we understand, when we listen to Jesus and we begin to understand this fortune, this glory, you know, we get to the point is, I'd lay down my human life. Why? To possess this life of the life of God's fiat, in its goods of the fiat. But why? Because we know, we're learning what this is about little by little. And because we know it, we are all ears to listen for it. We are all eyes to look at it. And if the soul is all heart to love it, he is then all tongue to speak about it. I mean, when I love to listen to people tell me about the divine will. The divine will, da-da-da-da-da. And they go on and on and on. It's just, they're all heart. They're all tongue. They're all eyes. They're all ears. Their senses are falling into what God said to Louisa. I made the senses for God. So that God becomes alive in us. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Gaze in my gazing. Listen in my listening. Sing in my singing. Dance in my dancing. God goes, good. Watch what I'm going to do. Volume 32, 8:20, 1933. How the divine majesty bends towards the soul when God sees the soul disposed to do an act in his most holy divine will. So Jesus says, when I, God, see our creature, our soul, remaining inside our ocean of fiat, the sea of the fiat, wanting to comprehend more and to enclose within herself another one of these truths, these lessons, these knowledges, so as to be able to form one more act of the life of our divine will, that our adorable majesty bends unto the lowliness of the soul, and touching her intelligence with our hands, she renders the soul capable with our divine power. We form the space in which she must enclose the new act of our divine will. Because Jesus says, there's no greater act that glorifies us, triune God, that loves us, triune God, more than a fulfilled act of our divine will in humanity. That's what God is offering to us. He touches our intellect, our memory, our will, the three powers that he has given to humanity. And he says, and we render the soul capable with our divine power. Who's doing this? God. We're not doing it. We're saying yes to God, and God is doing it. He says, forming the space where she must enclose the new act of our divine will, because there's no greater act that glorifies the triune God, loves the triune God more than the fulfilled act of our divine will in the soul. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.